In putting this message together, I used several sources. There was an article back in 2008 in the Good News entitled Joy, Foundation for a Positive Life. And then I also heard a sermon, looked up a sermon by Mr. Peter Eddington, Maintaining God's Joy in Your Life. And I also used some resources at home, mainly the Bible Knowledge Commentary. So out of those three sources, I gleaned information and facts that I'm basing this message on for you. So what do you think, if you have a minute, what do you think of the traits or qualities of God? Which traits come to mind for you? Power? He's the creator. He's our healer. He requires our perfect obedience. The God of perfect love, he certainly is. The God of total and complete compassion. Of course, he has that too. The God of the faithful, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of these are true. How about the God of unsurpassed joy? Today we're going to talk about joy, probably until around 5 o'clock. God very much enjoys his creation, and he has great anticipation for the day when we all become his children, his newborns, an infant. You know, I have a neighbor. The son moved out, and then he moved back. And you know how the story goes with that. But he moved back with a girlfriend, and she became pregnant. Well, she gave birth Friday or Thursday? June 10th, our anniversary. Oh, her birthday. Wrong date, sorry. It was one of those. He's a happy-go-lucky kid anyway, but he came. I saw him get out of the car after he'd been back from the hospital, and I knew that she'd given birth. Her mother had stuff tied around the tree like she always does. And so I ran outside and said hello to him. He had the biggest, happiest grin and smile on his face. He was so geeked that he had a little baby girl. And I said, so when does your girlfriend come back? And he says, well, I'm going to pick her up tomorrow. And she'll come home, and we're all set, and we have all this stuff. And he was out there trying to put the car seat in the car. And I thought the way he was going, I thought that was going to take him the rest of the day. So I just left because I knew he was in for a major operation there. But he was so absolutely happy. I've never seen him that happy in my life. And that's the way God is right now. We're nearing the resurrection. We're closer than we've ever been. And tomorrow will be closer yet. Turn with me to Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. It's going to be one of those days. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So there's a process you have to go through to become a child of God, but we're our partway through that process. And God is excited and thrilled to be able to finally have his children with him and see his family grow. God wants us to be joyful. Let's turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and in verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. So we have an awful lot, brethren, to rejoice about, to be filled with joy about. Think about those things. Remember those things. And then try to smile more often, like I'm still working on. So we'll see how I can do here. You know, I got to tell you a little story. When we were first married, I don't know how long it lasted because it's faded since then. But when we were first married, we'd sit down and eat together, and she would just be sitting there grinning like she had some secret to share, and she'd just be eating away, and she always ended up biting her cheek because she smiled so much because we were so happy together. And we're still happy together, but we don't smile like we used to. But she would sit there smiling and smiling. She'd, ow! And I said, what? She said, I bit my cheek. And I said, well, don't chew when you're smiling. But she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. She was always smiling and always biting her cheek. And then, of course, after you bite it, once it swells up. So then she was always biting it, even when she wasn't smiling. So I said, well, I'll put a Band-Aid on it if you want. And she's, oh, get real. I was just trying to be helpful. God wants us, brethren, to serve him with joy. We should be excited about the privilege of being able to serve and talk to and sing to the eternal God of the universe. Do you know how few people have that blessing and that privilege today? Or throughout history, as far as that goes, very, very few can glorify God. They don't know who God is. They don't know who he is. We do. And we should be thrilled with the fact that we are in contact with our Creator. And he loves us. And he loves us to glorify him, not because he has an ego problem, but because it's good for us. It helps us understand our relationship with him. It keeps us in the right order of things. We're not equals. He's daddy and we're his children. And we must always, always keep things in the right perspective. God wants us to serve him with joy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Now, this is what happens when you don't. Because you did not serve the Eternal your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed us. So, brethren, joy is critical. It's important. And of all people in the world, us Manassites should be the most joyful, the most thankful, the most appreciative for everything that we have. For all of you that traveled, you know what it's like in the rest of the world. I remember the first time we went to another developed, prosperous country. England, France, Italy, they're all the wealthy countries. And when I saw what they had compared to what we had, it was very, very sobering. None of them, I don't care how wealthy they are, can ever have what an average middle-class American has here. All the things that we do. When I have a friend from overseas visit, I just love to take him to the grocery store because their eyes just bug out of their head. They can't believe all that we have in our grocery stores. And now I can't believe how little of it I can afford, but nonetheless, we have a lot. We have more abundance. We throw away more food in a year than some countries produce. You know, McDonald's, the food times out and it goes in the wastebasket. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's sad how unthankful we are. I had a car honk at me this morning while I was sitting at the stop sign. "Well, I'm sorry, honey, but there were two cars ahead of me. It wasn't my turn to turn yet." And I didn't do anything. I didn't even get upset. So I'm improving. I'm improving, which is, I definitely need to improve. But I thought, man, what in the world is her problem? But anyway, I was still happy. I was still joyful. I was still a Christian after the experience ended. I can't always say that from past experiences, but I survived this one. So I am getting a little better, maybe. Just in case you didn't know, joy is a major topic in the Bible. The word joy appears 158 times in the King James Version. Rejoice occurs 198 times. And sad to say, you know, us humans in our condition, God has to command us to be joyful. Philippians 4:4, let's read that. Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." God is joyful, and it should be one of the traits that we develop in our life, because if you're joyful, you're also thankful. And God wants us to appreciate all that He has given us. We have so much in this country. I mean, just in Michigan alone, we have an island that doesn't have cars. We have sand dunes out west. We have ski resorts. We have the Great Lakes. We have Lake Superior, which I will never swim in. It is incredibly cold, but it's a beautiful lake. But it is a good place to get a drink of water. So today I want to tell you and identify for you what joy is. And then I want to show you how we can have more joy in our life. So first, let's define happiness, because for some reason people think the two are interchangeable. They aren't. They're two different words. They come from two different concepts. Happiness is an emotion. God never intended for us to be always happy. Happy comes from the word hap, which means chance, circumstance, haphazard, accident, random, hapless, unfortunate, unlucky, happenstance, a chance circumstance. Happiness is a glad feeling that is dependent on something good happening to you. It's dependent on what's going on around you. That's not joy. Happiness, you can lose happiness by cars honking at you when you're sitting at a stop sign. Joy is totally different. Joy comes from filling the spiritual void with good, healthy Christian relationships. Joy comes from having an intimate relationship with God. John 15:5. Let's see what that says. John 15:5. Oh, yeah. This is Christ is saying, "I am the vine. You, all of us, are the branches. He who abides in me, he who lives in me, he who draws near to me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. Look at the close relationship that describes. It's an intimate relationship. Christ, if we let him, will live inside us through the Holy Spirit. And we need him to be able to live like him. Christ's way of life is foreign to most of the world. It's totally different than the way the average person in this world lives. They don't understand. If you were to tell them, you know, if you want to be happy, give to others, serve other people, help your neighbor paint their house, they just tune you out. It doesn't make sense to me apart from God's Spirit. Apart from God's Spirit, I would say what makes me happy is getting things for me, people doing things for me, people serving me, waiting on me. But see, that's satanic thinking. That's not godly thinking. Godly thinking is totally different. It's so different, we can't even think his way up. We can read about it, and we can't understand it without God's Spirit. God's way is so foreign to any human being in this world that the only way you can understand it is when God the Father opens your mind and says, I want him, I want her to be a part of my family. And then Christ takes over. And when he grants you access to his Spirit, you start to understand. And all of a sudden, you read a verse and say, I have read that verse for 50 years, and I never understood that. You understand it now, not because you're smarter, but because you have the guidance of God's Spirit. And that, brethren, should give you joy. We have the precious truth of God, something so precious that he tells us, be careful how you handle it. Be careful who you share it with. Don't disrespect my way of life because you're disrespecting me. So, brethren, God blesses us with an opportunity and the privilege of being a friend of God. That should make you very, very joyful. Smile. I really got to learn to do that more. I'm sorry. I'm going to work at it. John 16, verse 22. Therefore, John 16, verse 22, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And when we see Christ, we will rejoice. And your joy, no one ever will be able to take from you. God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to appreciate all that he's done for us. A long-range evidence of joy in your life is gratitude, contentment, optimism, the sense of freedom. Joy also comes from confidence in God. He is at work, and he is in full control of each of our lives. He is in the midst of whatever we're going through, and he is with us, and he wants to help us if we will only let him. I have another story for you. Sometimes Norman can be so positive, enthusiastic about whatever he's doing that it's almost disconcerting to me. I wonder if he's walking in the same world as I am. Once we were fishing in a mountain lake. We hadn't caught a thing. Norm had rowed the boat to 5 or 6 different spots that he was sure would have the big catch. And he was rowing, not using a motor. Finally, after about 3 hours of wandering aimlessly around the lake, rowing and rowing and rowing, he got this big, big grin on his face and said, "Now we can really start fishing. We know where the fish aren't." He has a wonderful enthusiasm for life that permeates everything he does. And that was an article written by Joyce Wright about her husband, Norm Wright, in Marriage Partnership, Volume 7, Number 3. But there's something to that, brethren. You know, you can be negative or you can be positive. Being joyful is a choice. Happiness happens, but being joyful is your choice. And we should all choose to be joyful. If you aren't joyful, you don't appreciate what God has done for you. I don't know how else to say it. It sounds a little rough, but it's the truth. Sometimes we just don't stop and think about all that we have because we think about car payment due, house payments due, you know, taxes are due in 2 months, and it weighs you down. But we have a partner through life, Jesus Christ, who wants so much to live in us and to share with us every part of our life so that he can guide us and show us how he will handle everything that we go through. So where does joy come from? Well, joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, we all know that. I guess Galatians 5:22, since this is kind of important. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes from God. And to get the Holy Spirit, you have to repent. You have to be baptized. And then you have to have the laying of hands on you. And then you receive the Holy Spirit. There's a process involved. But joy, brethren, can be such a positive impact on your life if you start dwelling on all the things that have happened to you that are such wonderful, wonderful events in your life, your spouse, your children, your job. Now, I know not everybody likes their job. I was blessed, and I loved my job. I shouldn't say. The first 6 months, I wasn't so impressed with it. I came home the first day and told Mary, "I'm not going to be here forever. I'll tell you that right now." But I was, pretty much. I changed companies once, and then the company that I left bought out the company I went to, so I had the same people around me again. And I wasn't leaving because of the people. I was leaving because of the money and the promotions. So I went to this other company. They bought me out again. And then I went to a third company. And the third company I went to bought out the other two that I had worked at. So I was still with the same people. So it was wonderful. I loved the people I worked with. I loved my boss. And I loved my job after the first 6 months. If you don't love your job, look for positive elements in your job. Look for things that are good about your job, because there's something good. Not everything can be bad, or nobody would be working there. joy is influenced by your outlook on life. Are you negative or are you positive? Are you thankful or are you a complainer? Because if you're a complainer, you got a problem. So don't do it. Rejoice, be happy, be thankful. Joy comes from the word chara, C-H-A-R-A, and it's a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, that rejoicing again, which was promised to those who abide in Christ. Let's read John 15, 11. John 15, verse 11. I could smile while I'm turning pages, you'd think. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be filled with joy. Look at all that he's done for us. Look at all that his son has done for us. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy does not depend on being a success or having money. Joy is independent of all that. It's a gift from God, and we need to develop it as he fills us with joy. Here's a command for us to do. Philippians 3, verse 1. Philippians is before Colossians. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. They needed to be reminded, and Paul enjoyed writing to them to encourage them and to help them in their walk to salvation, in their walk with Christ. Joy comes much more from giving and serving, from helping others. You know, when I was a teenager, our church really probably isn't big enough to do that anymore, but when I was a teenager, on Sundays we would often, several times a year, help widows. Sometimes we'd go over to their house and clean out the shrubbery, mow the yard, paint the house. Other times we would roof the house. And you know, brethren, back then when we did it, the entire family went, not just the men. The women got together and cooked and fed us. The teenagers, me being one of them, did all the little painful, not fun things to do. Go get me a pan of nails. Go get me this, get that. You know, and we were just the go-fetchers. But that was okay. We were together, and we were serving one of God's children. And they were so thankful. The frustrating part when I brought the nails back, I said, no, I wanted number 8, not number 4 or whatever, I don't know. I said, well, there's no number on them. So anyway, we don't do that anymore, and people are being cheated out of the fun of being in the church. And, you know, you think, fun painting the house, fun putting on a roof. It was fun. Ask Steve. He was only 15 at the time. Not really. I was only 15 at the time. He was 64. Okay, that was happiness, not joy. We didn't turn to Acts 20, did we? There's something there I wanted to tell you. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak And remember the words of the eternal Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, that does not make sense to anybody in the world. But it does make sense to you and me because we've done it. And some things about God's way of life, you just have to do to understand why it's the right way. You don't always understand God's way just by reading about it. But when you do it, you think, you know, that was fun. It really was fun. And we have such wonderful stories to tell from it. And I don't know, it was very enjoyable to have those outings and to have those activities where we did things for people and where we served people. And I wish we did more of that. We still do, but it's only now just a couple of people because that's not many people left. Gratitude produces joy. 1 Thessalonians, I shouldn't say produces because joy is a gift from God, but it builds joy. It helps it grow. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. They want us to be thankful. They want us to show them appreciation for all that they've done. Look at how few we are in the world of, what is it, 8 billion? I don't know. And we are the ones God is interested in and working with at this time. He loves the entire world, and we should too. But they don't have the blessing of a first calling like we do. And that should bring great joy and gratitude in our lives. Joy can also be linked to our sorrow. Now, this one takes a little bit of thinking, but we'll think it through together. John 16, verse 20. I've got to wet my whistle again. Most assuredly, verse 20, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. So how does that work? You're suffering, you're in a trial, and God says your sorrow will be turned to joy. How? Well, what do we do when we're having a trial? What do we do when we're hurting? What do we do when we're lost? If we're smart, we turn to God. And we cry out to God and say, help, I messed up again. Or help, I'm having a rough time. And we believe that he will. And if we do all that we can to fix whatever the problem is, he will do what we can't do. And he will do it in a way that if you're praying about it and giving the problem to God, you will see his hand in the problem, in the solution to the problem. And that, brethren, is very, very joyful. It's very exciting to see God intervene in your life. Did I tell you guys about the time when I was a manager and I was in the office, and the staff came up and told me that there was a customer coming in and he was irate, and he was always irate, and on a good day he was irate. Did I tell you guys that, or was that a different church? Okay, I'll tell you again then. Anyway, I was doing my managing things, and this employee came in and said, "This guy here is, we have a gentleman here to see you, and he's really nasty, so I just wanted to warn you." So I went out to meet him, put a big grin on my face, and we went into the office and talked, and he was upset, and he told me what he's upset about, and I said, "Well, we can fix that." I said, "If you don't like your commitment coming out like this, if you want your survey maps and your subdivision maps attached, we can do that. We didn't know you wanted that." He said, "Well, why wouldn't you know?" And I said, "Well, you know, we have dozens and dozens of customers, and different customers want different things. But if that's what you want, that's not a problem for us to do." So I went through his list of complaints and either solved them or told him why we couldn't do it, and I was nice about it. And at the end, we were laughing and joking, and he got up and left and was a happy man. And the employee came to my office, and she says, "What did you do?" And I said, "Well, I prayed about it." And she gave me a funny look, and I said, "Well, that's the truth. That's what I did. God did the rest. He intervened in that man's mind. He helped me learn how to answer him in a way that was acceptable to him without me knowing it. And everything worked out wonderful. But I knew what had happened. And I shared it with the employee, but, you know, they don't understand. It's not their fault. I actually feel sorry for them because they can't understand. Not until God opens their mind. They are slaves to sin. We are free from sin. What an incredible blessing. We don't have sin hounding us, pulling us down. We have God and His freedom and His life to be thankful for. So what can we do to have more joy? Romans 8:28, let's start there. Romans 8:28, top left-hand corner of the page. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." So we need to love God. We need to appreciate God. We need to be thankful for God. We have so much, brethren. We have so very, very much. I'm so thankful for my calling. You know, when we were called, I thought my dad was going to be in the church. He was the one that was more interested in the broadcast than we were. It took him 3 weeks to get my mom just to turn the radio on. And then when we became interested in it, he drifted away. And he really stopped when we had the DNR issues. But that's a whole other topic. But we were called. And God used my dad to work through him to give us our calling. And I am so very thankful, as all of you are too, I know, for God's intervention in your life, for God's love of opening your heart and your mind to His way of life, which is so incredibly different than Satan's way of life. There's only two ways, God and Satan. If you aren't with God, you're with Satan, whether you want to be or not. Okay. To be joyful, brethren, we also must obey God. Acts 5:32. "And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given." Who does He give it to, brethren? To those who obey Him. He doesn't hand it out nilly-willy. You don't get it just by asking for it. God has to approach you. It's the only way it works. God approaches you, and he watches how you respond. Do you walk away, or do you listen? Do you show that you're appreciative of what he's doing? Romans 6:16. Do you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves? You are the one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin, leading to death, or of obedience, leading to righteousness. Either way, you're going to have a master, brethren. You can have sin for a master and Satan, or you can have joy and God and success. It doesn't seem like it's much of a choice to me, but for some it is. When we obey God, brethren, we put ourselves under his protection, and then he steps into our life and he responds. He responds with great joy. He loves having a relationship with us. He loves us talking to him. And he loves us answering and listening to him as we study the Bible. And I'm going the wrong way to get to Thessalonians. It's before Timothy. There we go. Okay, where am I here? 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So when you're sitting at a stop sign doing absolutely nothing wrong and the car honks behind you and gives you the finger, God will take care of them. I'd love it if he did it right then so I could witness it. But he usually doesn't do that, but he will protect us. He will take care of us. He will take care of those who are out to destroy us. He will take care of Satan. Satan is not a problem or a challenge for God. He is for us. We can't fight him. We're no match for him in any way. He's smarter than us. He's cleverer than us. He's older than us. He's nastier than us. He can think up evil things to do that we can't even think up. And he loves doing it. That's how perverted he is. But we, brethren, are the children of God Almighty. And he cherishes us, each of us, individually. He loves it when we pray to him and talk to him. He loves it when we ask for things in the right way. He loves to hear us give thanks to him, to thank him for calling us, to thank him for the family that he's brought us into. You know, most of you people I never would have met if I hadn't come into the church. I was happy in my little professional title group of people. We knew everybody and everybody knew us, because if you know title insurance, that's the only thing you can do in life, unless you're totally retrained in a new occupation. It's a very select few that do it. And so we constantly keep on bobbing around. Oh, I remember you when we both worked over at Greco Title. And now we're back together again at lawyers. And you just float around. You see each other at the courthouse and you talk. And one of them I exercised with now and then. And I told him one time, I says, you know, Greg, I says, you're going to have high blood pressure if you keep on lifting these heavy weights. I mean, he was lifting, you know, 400 pounds. And I says, that's not good for you. I know you want to bulk up, but, you know, lift 40 pounds like I do and lift it 200 times. Then he gave me a funny look. But 40 pounds was heavy for me. But a year later, I caught up with him again, and he did have high blood pressure. And I felt bad for him, but didn't listen to me. Brethren, we have been given everything that we need for salvation. We have everything at our disposal that we need to overcome sin, to serve God, to serve His children, and to glorify Him in the life that we live every single day. How many people in this world right now do you think have an opportunity to glorify God? How many people in this world do you think want to? It's sad. But we have God. We have Jesus Christ right here inside us because we've invited Him in through the Holy Spirit. And He loves being with us. And soon we will be with Him in spirit form. I don't know how spirit beings hug, but there must be a way because I love hugging. Anyway, be thankful, brethren, for all that God has done for us. Strengthen your relationships with each other. Spend as much time at church as you can. Learn about each other. Learn how we came into the church, how we met our spouse, when we got married. Oh, you've been married 65 years. I had no idea. I thought you were 45. Brethren, God has blessed us with each other. Let's work at being a blessing for each other. That's what God wants us to do. That's what we're going to do forever. If it's hard to do now, are you going to be happy doing it for an eternity? If it weighs you down now, trying to be godly, is your heart where it needs to be? If you complain about all kinds of things through the day, are you really being thankful? Something to think about. Romans 12:15. What is wrong with my throat? 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And that should be all of us. So he's saying, spend time together and rejoice together and learn about each other and talk about what you've been studying. Talk about questions that came up in your study. I just talked to Mr. Cook about one today that came up in my studies this week. And of course, he set me straight and no short term at all. But we have each other. What a blessing. What a privilege for me to be able to talk to any of you. I'm not worthy of your friendship. But I do value it deeply. Dwell on the promises that God has given us. 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, not human nature. Having escaped, brethren, that is in the world through lust, through selfishness, we've escaped that life. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing. Keep your life in proper focus. You know, none of us are that important. We're valuable to God because of our potential that He has given us. We didn't earn it. We didn't get it ourselves. He blessed us. He led us to repentance. He showed us that we needed to be baptized. A minister of God baptized us. He, through that laying on of hands, gave us His Holy Spirit. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But He blessed us with it. What a privilege. Now we have the power of the universe within us. We, brethren, should be able to overcome anything. Frankly, we should be perfect. If we totally submitted to God, totally yielded to Him, if we had total fulfillment of the Holy Spirit within us, we could be. But we just don't surrender as we should. We don't give everything to Christ, because some things we know what we should do. But what if Christ wants us to do something else? Even if it's what we want to do isn't wrong. Maybe Christ wants us to go down a different road. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do whatever Christ and God want us to do? Or do we have certain things we just don't go there? We don't have that option, brethren. I'm on page 3. I only have 20 pages left. We have nothing to feel sorry for ourselves for. We have been given everything. Free gifts, free promises. From the power of the universe, the eternal God that has always existed. Think about that for a while, but not too long, because you'll go crazy. He's always been. Christ is eternal, except for 3 days in the earth. Tiny, tiny little gap there when He didn't exist. But they are eternal, brethren. I mean, those of us that are older, and some of you are way older than me, you look back. I told Mary the other day, I said, you know, I'm glad I'm not 20 anymore. I said, I'd hate to go back and lose all the things that I've learned and have to relearn it. Because we can see things that people that are only 30 years old, just they can't see, they can't comprehend because they didn't experience it, and we did. I was alive when John F. Kennedy was killed. I know exactly where I was sitting. I was in sixth grade, and I was sitting in the second desk facing the wall. And the principal walked into our room and said that he had been killed. And that was a very sad day for everybody. Not because I loved him, but because of what happened. It was an embarrassment to the country. We have been through so much, and God has been with us through it all, if we let him. Turn to James 1. This might need a little bit of explaining. Verse 2 of James 1. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Why? How do you do that? Well, let's look at verse 3. Knowing, we know this, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God is creating in us a new individual. He's not fixing the old individual. He's not repairing me. He's not fixing me. Can't. Well, I mean, he can do anything, but he's creating a new me that will be perfect, that will have hair. You know, I went to this stupid barber shop the other day. I go to this woman. I just love her. She does a good job. And I've been with her for a couple of years now. And I really like how she cuts my hair. Well, they called up and said she was sick. And I didn't want to go another week or two. Because, you know, the Bible tells men they should have short hair. Well, I certainly am fulfilling that scripture. So they gave me the woman that cuts Mary's hair some of the time. And I told her, I said, I just want a little bit shaved off, maybe an eighth of an inch, and, you know, shape it and kiss it and do all the stuff you do to it. And as I looked down at the thing covering me, I started seeing this hair falling off my head that was like this long. And I thought, oh my, what is she doing now? And when I got done, here you go. I told Mary, I says, we can go home with the windows down. This ain't going anyplace. There's not long enough to blow. They called me to schedule the next haircut, and I said, I'm not going to need a haircut for 2 years. So anyway, where were we? That was my trial of the week. But like Mary said, it'll grow back, and I know it will, but I'd really like it to be long enough that I can see a curl. She cut every curl off my head, every single curl. It's gone. I love my curls because I don't have that many left. I got this valley in between where the curls used to be. And Dawn was of no help to me. She had a full calendar. So this is partly your fault, Dawn, that I look like this. Oh, here's a verse. It says, look forward to the future. Yeah, I look forward to when I have hair. So, brethren, we can be joyful in trials, because we know through the trial, God is perfecting us. How beautiful that is, that we will be perfect when we're resurrected, and I'll have my curls back. It'll be so nice. But brethren, we'll be perfect. Can you wrap your mind around that? Perfect. Not one wicked thought enters your head. Not anything that is sinful is even a temptation for us, because we have learned to hate sin completely. Every sin. Every sin. It's not even a temptation for us, because we've lived the results of sin. And we've seen the world living in sin. And it hurts. I have friends in the world that are suffering because of the way they're living. And I know the answer. I know what they need to change. But they won't do it now. It's not their time. And I appear to be out of time. Okay. Well, we'll get rid of the next 15 pages. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Let's take a gander at that. And not only that, this is Romans 5, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Not who, it's not a being. Which was given to us. God has given us everything we need to serve Him, to become perfect, to overcome sin, to be a light to this world, and to glorify God. How beautiful, brethren. We are nothing. God is everything. And I want to be like Him. I know I can't sit at His right hand, but maybe I can clean His toenails. Wonder if they ever get dirty. Some of you don't think so, okay. Maybe He doesn't stick them in dirt anymore. Brethren, we have a great future. Let's look forward to it. Revelation 21. Let's be joyful about our future. Revelation 21, verse 4. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And God will wipe away every single tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things, all of that has passed away. And now we have a future as the children of God, perfect, with hair, able to worship God, able to glorify God, and able to serve Him perfectly. If that's not something to be joyful about, I don't know what to do for you. So one last scripture. I won't tell you all the stuff I skipped. It wasn't that great anyway. Blew right by it. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the eternal. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Brethren, what a beautiful, beautiful future. Let's be joyful and share with God and show him how much we appreciate all that he lovingly does for us, the little ones.